Last week was part one of our visit with Peter Rowan. Bluegrass Boy and Beyond, we're going to finish our visit with Peter in the second hour. Part two of our visit, we discuss Carter Stanley's Eyes, his brand new album on Rebel Records. We're talking to Peter Rowan, if you're just tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Peter, and you have on this album, you've written, I'm going to say, what, two songs are co-written, one or two songs, including what would be the title cut. But then you also have two songs from Carter Stanley, Too Late to Cry and the very last one, The Vision of Mother, which is what I was referring to Todd Pons. I wasn't familiar with him. He sings the lead on that. So it isn't, and I didn't want people to think that, and I don't think you do either, that because of the title of the album, this is all Stanley or Carter Stanley songs. But you have two. You have one from Ralph riding on that midnight train, and then I will bet you that half of the people, if you ask them to raise their hands as to who wrote The Hills of Roane County, I bet they would guess one of the Stanley brothers. But it's just a song that they did so well, it kind of became theirs.
Yeah, and Bill did that one too. And then there's Truth and Trembling Brakeman.
Yeah, it's great.
What a song!
It's great.
Tom Ritchie turned me on to that. He sent me a tape of Carter singing part of it. It was just one of those things that at a concert that Carter came out in as an encore, sang a little bit of it. I mean, that's some history right there, you know.
That's one that's so old they don't know who wrote this public domain.
No, they know who wrote it.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, it's an actual author.
There's not one.
A guy who wrote a bunch of songs like that.
It's not listed.
You know, and man, oh yes, it is.
Well, to be. Not inside the album.
Oh, no, well, we gave him all the. He's an actual writer. You can Google the song, and you'll see that.
Okay.
Got his name on it. Well, he's writing about coal mining.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, Man of Constant Sorrow, which was such a big hit for Ralph. I mean, he'd been singing that for years.
Oh yeah, sure.
Who would have suspected that T-Bone Burnett would have, you know, made that the major song in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, they did. They did.
But that song was written by somebody. There's an actual writer of that song.
Oh yeah, sure. I remember that. I remember when that came out and looked it up, but I did not know. I'll look it up. True and Trembling Brakeman. Mm-hmm. All these songs though, Peter, even the ones that are Take My Ashes, which is that a newer song? And I do not know Rex Foster at all.
Rex is a friend of mine down in Comfort, Texas.
Okay.
I lived in Texas for a long time, and well, we just used to write a lot together, and I produced a couple of records on him, and we've co-written a few, and I just, again, generosity, you know. Songwriting is a mm-hmm. real generous process where you give up your territorial claim on something and let other people in, and something really great can come of it, and I think that's one of those songs. Yeah, I think the sentiment is close to, you know, Carter's.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The feel of everything, and you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the players, but all the people listed as contributing to this, they're all willing to, and you and Rigsby, it's impossible not to pick out his voice on things, and
oh yeah,
but you have so many. I'm going to list the, you've mentioned Blaine Sprouse, Patrick Sauber, Tim O'Brien is on this album,
mm-hmm.
Chris Henry, who I know of, and Don, Jack Lawrence, Paul Knight, Jamie Oldaker, Todd Pons. There's a lot of people, but you know, it's not everybody blends in to get that same feel that I think you're going for when you want to sing about and be part of that Carter Stanley legacy. I think did they all just give in? Is that part of the generosity of this, what's essentially, you say, a live performance, that they were just, everybody kind of melded into the same concept?
Yeah, it wasn't too much concept thinking. It was more like, oh yeah, we know this, you know, we know this feel. I have to say, too, that, you know, Jamie Oldaker on percussion is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, when Bill Monroe added three fiddles to his sound, you know, there was certainly an acknowledgement of Bob Wills' Western swing sound.
Okay, yeah.
And Bill loved Ernest Tubb, too. They were Opry mates, you know, Grand Ole Opry stars together. But Bill was understated, and he wouldn't. He certainly wouldn't brag and say, I got this triple fiddle idea from Bob Wills. I mean, he would just never do that, mm-hmm. you know. But there's an influence in bluegrass that broadened the approach, and Monroe certainly was leading it. There was no other band that used triple fiddles, no other bluegrass kind of band. But you sometimes live, of course, you get two or three fiddlers up on stage together. There was always a big moment. And in fact, all the good jam sessions I was ever part of when I was learning were driven by fiddle players like Tex Logan and Kenny Baker.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was that Jamie Oldacre is rooted in rhythms kind of exemplified by the Kansas City. It's more like an amalgamation of feel. He worked with Eric Clapton for a long time, you know, and he got to sit down with James Brown's drummers and really learn what those patterns were that they invented for James Brown so that he could be his own, you know, godfather of soul, Mr., you know, dancing man on stage. And it's not that we tried to adapt and say, okay, now we're going to play a boogaloo shuffle behind bluegrass, but there was this sound in the 60s that was called the Mississippi Fife and Drum sound. And there was a Folkways record that I heard, and I saw these guys live at Newport when we were there. Two black gentlemen from Mississippi, one playing a cane fife, you know, cut from a little piece of cane out in the field, and the other playing with just a standard, like, bass drum that probably came from the local high school. But his downbeat on the bass drum had such swing to it. It was as if, like, somebody was playing a full set. And, you know, polyrhythms and stuff, but he didn't try and show off or anything. Those two guys just got up on stage and danced and played the fife and the bass drum. And I always thought, you know, that is an equally valid, you know, input that could find its way into bluegrass. It could find its way rather than conventional drumming, but it's a delicate thing, right?
Yeah.
Jamie's a tasteful drummer. He's not going to go out too far to take the music someplace that it, you know what I mean? He's going to make what we're doing more what we're doing. And for that, he's uniquely suited because he knows all these deep old rhythms, you know? I mean, he can play like the drummers used to play behind Howling Wolf and people like that.
Oh, man.
That's because he learned that way,
yeah.
You know? He learned as a kid at playing with J.J. Cale and Leon Russell and people like that. Those guys were gifted and grew up in Tulsa where the crosswinds of blues and country and western swing were all. That's where Bob Wills is, where Kane's Ballroom is. You know what I mean? So you had this western swing dance rhythm meeting the blues, and then the Kansas City, you know, winds of jazz from Count Basie,
yeah.
All kind of blowing around.
Jay McShann?
Yeah. Whoa, dude, that's a good name to drop.
That's all right. You're welcome.
You know, it's amazing, truthfully, you know, that the players that we've been talking about and the situations are like, and we still do it. You know, in the bluegrass world, there's a lineage and a history. And then in the jazz world, there's a lineage and a history.
Mm-hmm.
And in the western swing world, and oh, yeah, Tommy Duncan. Yeah, but, you know, he learned from this guy and some of the people that played with Willie over the years, especially when he did Stardust. Was it Stardust? Yeah, he did this, like, album of standards.
Mm-hmm.
But the mandola player, Paul. But he used a lot of these old Western swing guys that knew that book, that you say that book, right? He knew that, they knew that book backwards and forwards. But nobody ever got a chance to play anymore after the big bands had gone, right? They're all in retirement. Here comes Willie Nelson, and he brings out these Western swing players, and including the last fiddle player, whose name I forget, living in Austin, played with the Sleep of the Wheel. You know, some of the last of those guys, well, they never lost their thing, you know, and so when they come back out and play it, and took a Willie to bring him back out. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an album that stayed on the country charts for 3 years. And so, you know, okay, just to draw the parallel.
No, it's okay. I'm enjoying this. Take the lines out as far as you want. I don't care.
I'm not expecting, you know, heavy chart action, and probably as usual, it would be like barely on the chart. But the musical integrity is what gives me the great joy. So to bring Jamie Oldacre in with that, you know, history in his own playing, and for him to adapt it to bluegrass, which is always sort of, we make light of it. But, you know, Can't You Hear Me Calling is basically a kind of a march, but you wouldn't hear it as a march, because what he's playing is an authentically rooted drum feel in a bluegrass song. And he's not just like playing along, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And well, you know, and I have to say, most musicians these days have really gone deeply into the roots and try and bring something to the music. But anyway, I love what Jamie brings to the music as Chris Henry and everybody. You know what I mean? Chris has done his homework. You know, Chris has studied Frank Wakefield, Bill Monroe. I mean, not only studied Bill Monroe, but he could probably sit down and play you Bobby Osborne style. Anybody's style.
You know, and Peter, he just released, I'm going to say within the last year, and I say release, and that he recorded it, and I've heard it, this thing that he put together, and I can't even think of the, it was more like an environmental.
You mean the multi-track?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that yet.
It's pretty cool. He's got ears all over, let's just say that.
Yes, he does. I'm going to text him when we're done here, and I'm going to ask him to send
it to you. Okay, good.
I heard it when it was in process.
Yeah.
He asked me to play something, and I think I may have, but you know, there was so much on there. It was like, I'm not sure I know where to go.
No, but you need to listen to it from beginning to end. So find the time. And just hear from, because it's one piece. I mean, it's like it's one movement. I don't know how to describe it, but you will like it. So anyway, yeah, you have. Thank you so much for explaining Jamie Oldacre to that detail. I do appreciate that that information. It's such a great album. It's so much fun. It is. It's a blast to listen to. You know, Peter, you do so many different kinds of music within this. And you've already talked about Hawaii, and I know you like a lot of different kinds of music, but you bring it all in back into still the same feel that you got when you're looking in Carter Stanley's eyes and you're with Bill Monroe. It's still the same touch point to me when I listen to this. It's all right there still.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations.
Thank you. Well, it's fun to do a project that's based on a feel.
Yeah.
And I kind of personally needed that. Not about my material. More like, let's get this feel.
Great. Peter, I know you're busy. We talked a little bit before we went on the air. I know you have dates. You're available. This new album, Carter Stanley's Eyes. You must have a website. I bet it's probably not hard to find where people can find out where you're going to be and pick up this latest CD and other projects from you.
Yeah, well, we'll be up at the Merle Watson Festival here at the end of the month, and then through the summer down at the festivals all over the country. And I think my website is either taking a breather or just back up.
All right. Well, I bet you that if people type your name in sooner or later, they'll find out where you're going to be.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of information out
there. All right.
Instagram, too.
Okay. Well, that's right. Man, listen, I have enjoyed this so much. Thanks so much for taking the time. And I'm sorry you're suffering a cold and you still plug through it all. So great album, man. I really appreciate the music and what you're doing. And just keep doing it, I guess.
Hey. I guess, man. It's my pleasure. And David Grisman and I are going to get together.
Oh, good.
At Rocky Grass. We're going to do Olden in the Gray.
Oh, good. Who's going to be in that lineup? Because, you know, I loved Olden in the Way and then Olden in the Gray.
You know who's going to be in there is Sam Grisman will be playing bass.
Yeah.
Keith Little will be playing banjo.
Okay.
And Keith has both been in my band and David's band. And on fiddle, by George, we got Sam Bush.
No kidding, on fiddle.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a really good addition.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, I love that. I'd love to be able to see that. I won't be out there, but hopefully you'll get together somewhere. It's convenient that you're out there because it's probably where you're going to find Sam more often than not. But for those type of events, but thrilled about that. Anything else other than that, Olden and the Gray reassemblage in this album? Are you traveling with a specific band, or are you just...
Mostly with the band on the album.
Oh, okay.
At least most gigs have most of the members, and some of them have only a couple of members, but that'll be the band this summer.
Cool. All right. Listen, I've endeavored a long time to find you, and this gave me the opportunity to find you, to talk to you. And I've seen you, and I've seen you within close enough to take your hat. I wouldn't do that, but I never had a chance to talk to you, so I'm thrilled that we were able to connect on this new album, Carter Stanley's Eyes.
Yeah, man. Hey, beautiful. It's been great talking to you, man.
Thanks, brother. Hey, take care. I'll catch up to you somewhere.
All right.
All right. Thanks. Bye.